Welcome, welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
You hear that, Ern? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one audio source for Harry Potter news, theories, discussion, as well as info straight from the makers of the books and films themselves, like me, Matt Lewis. I play Neville Longbottom in the Harry Potter films, and I'm very happy to be here helping introduce your hosts, the Pottercast trio, Melissa, John, and Sue.
Going right into our fourth straight week discussing Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Ooh.
This is Pottercast 72.
We are not going to wear this out, ever.
4 weeks straight.
Straight, baby.
We're coming at it from all sides, every corner, we're going to discuss it until you're sick of it.
And then, like, make them stop!
Is this the episode where we talk about
for the
Anthe?
Book to come out?
Yeah, we have to do that.
Yes.
What exactly do you mean by
yeah.
the?
Another little known fact that you will learn on this week's Pottercast. Deathly is not an adverb in the title, Harry Potter.
Oh, I'm giving away the best part of the show.
I know. Listen to find out why. Okay. It is Pottercast 72, and in this show, it is the show we promised about 3 minutes after we found out the title of Harry Potter 7. We said, you will send us your theories in email, and we will have a whole show dedicated to it, and that's this show. Except for the news and all that stuff that we do.
In the second part of the show, Joe took our call and actually told us what it was all about.
Yeah.
No. Everyone's like,
all the first-time listeners.
Okay, it's Pottercast 72, and we can't go on before doing our ad from Borders.
I love the Borders.
That's the Borders.
Who does it this week?
I haven't done it.
I did it last week.
Page, I don't think.
Huh?
Sure, John.
John, you do it.
All right. Today's Pottercast was brought to you by Borders. Sign up at Borders today to be first to know when the last Harry Potter book will be released. Click on the banner at the top of Pottercast.com to join the Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows notification list today. Visit BordersStores.com to locate the Borders nearest you.
Thank you, Borders. And, okay, once again, it's a new month. Podcast Alley, you can vote for us, all that stuff, if you feel like it.
Yes.
Remember, we will be live at Phoenix Rising, the Harry Potter convention in New Orleans on May 17th to 20th. If you want to go to that convention, that gets you a free ticket to our live Pottercast, which is on the opening night.
Yes.
So go to thephoenixrises.org. We'll also be presenting two panels at that convention, both on how to podcast and how to be a fan journalist, so we hope you'll join us there. And we will also be featuring the Whomping Willows and Brian of Draco and the Malfoys in our live podcast.
Is it the Whomping Willows or the Whamping Willows?
According to John, it would be the Whamping Willows, because John can't spell.
I spell great.
John and Hangman go real well together.
We'll have to post that on podcast.com.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we have a scan from... It's personal. You guys don't want to hear it. We'll talk about it at the end of the show. Anyway, why don't we do our Sue's News? I love Sue's News!
Well, it has been almost 4 weeks now since the release of the title of the last Harry Potter novel, and while there has been no release date yet given, many retailers have begun taking pre-orders, as we told you previously. However, Bloomsbury has now stated there has been no permission yet given for the pre-orders, as they do not have the manuscript. A spokesperson for the UK publisher said that JKR is still writing Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, and they do not know how many of the books have been pre-ordered yet, and they will not be basing their print run from these numbers either. In a related note now, a survey of independent booksellers revealed that up to a quarter of the participants said they would not be stocking the final Harry Potter book, as they would not make a profit from it. Facing very stiff competition from the giant retailers, and noting they cannot match the steep discounts some places will be able to offer for the book, some of these independent sellers said they would not be carrying the last Harry Potter novel. However, a majority of the sellers said that they would go ahead and carry the book to ensure customer loyalty, even with the knowledge they may lose money on the deal. Speaking of the Harry Potter novels, Bloomsbury has now released a special edition of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone that contains a list from author J.K. Rowling on her favorite books, as well as a new introduction written by author Alexander McCall Smith, and this book is available, and you can find links for that via our Cauldron Shop. Turning to Potter film news now, Warner Brothers has announced that they will be releasing the first four Harry Potter films on a high-definition DVD disc later this year. Yay! No release schedule has yet been announced, though, nor any details on what may be included on these new discs, and we are trying to find more information on this, and we'll update when we can. Speaking of new things, NECA has now previewed some of their new figures they're going to be releasing this year in conjunction with Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Toy Fair Magazine has a preview of some of these figures due this year, including impressive ones of Ralph Fiennes as Voldemort, a Dementor, Harry Potter in his Triwizard costume from Goblet of Fire, and much more. You can find some photos of these in our galleries as well. And these new products are scheduled to begin appearing on store shelves mid-March. Actor Jason Isaacs has given a new interview where he describes a bit more about working with Gary Oldman in the upcoming Phoenix movie. Calling it magnificent, he does say, quote, "We get to play around like 2 10-year-olds, end quote, and says there will be a big battle sequence between his character of Lucius Malfoy and Mr. Oldman, Sirius Black, at the Ministry. Mr. Isaacs also met with author J.K. Rowling recently where he joked, quote, "He fell to his knees and begged. It didn't do any good," end quote. He also noted that he's hoping Lucius will bust out of prison in Book 7 and is holding his breath looking forward to what is contained in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, as are we all. Finally, congratulations are in order to Uncle Vernon actor Richard Griffiths and Madame Maxine actress Frances de la Tour, who both received BAFTA nominations this week for their performances in the motion picture History Boys. Congratulations! Well, that will do it for this week, and as always, you can find complete, well-balanced Harry Potter news and information at LeakyNews.com, which is updated continually. Guys?
And that was some excellent news, Suze.
Okay.
Yes, lots of news.
So, big news of the week. Warner Brothers will be releasing all Harry Potter films on high def, huh?
For free.
Finally.
I heard that mm-hmm. if you turn in your proof of purchase of the previous DVDs, they give you these new ones for free.
Don't we wish?
Isn't that true? That's what I'm going to suggest.
No.
No.
Isn't it a shame? We spent so much money.
I know.
Yeah. But you know what's so cool is that we know that Goblet of Fire, or at least the one in the UK, had the Phelps commentary. So I'm excited. Does this mean they're going to go back and put new commentaries in for all
you know
of them?
What?
I mean, we don't know.
You know who I heard is going to do the commentary for Chamber of Secrets?
Oh my God. I'm afraid to ask. Who?
Tony Maudsley.
It's not even
it's the thing that John has decided is funny this week. He just picks random things, decides they're funny, laughs at them, and they become funny. I don't understand it.
Tony Maudsley, for those of you who are new or don't understand, is the actor that plays Grop or Garp.
Who not a single Harry Potter fan has seen in the Harry Potter role yet.
Can you see him sitting there in like a reclining chair? Giving the commentary to Chamber of Secrets for no good reason. Oh, I love the cupcake scene.
I thought you were going to say Dobby's.
No.
And he's going to do that all the way through.
Well, that's the obvious answer.
Hell. Yeah.
Anyway, the thing that I'm interested about seeing in these high def. First of all, I'm amazed that even back at Sorcerer's Stone, they recorded them in the capability for high def.
Well, they shoot on film.
Like yeah, I know, but I'm not familiar with all this. Yeah. It's film high def, and then they just compress it.
It's like an infinite resolution,
almost infinite.
Yeah, like an up-res it to whatever they want, like they did. You know, they have high def versions of the original Star Wars movies.
Yeah,
certainly the time before high def cameras.
Well, I can't wait to see what we're not really supposed to be seeing: the little reflections and things,
yeah.
Little details.
Right.
And, you know.
Right.
They'll probably have to do a little bit of cleanup, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Here and there.
But, you know, those hardcore fans that want to see that kind of stuff.
Sure,
yeah, but they don't want us to see it.
Yeah, boo. Bring it.
Boo.
But it'd be funny if there was something in the background in one scene, so to fix it, they had to put a different background on. So you see, like, that Harry is, like, flying, and all of a sudden you see, like, a cardboard cutout sky behind him.
Or you see all of, like, the wires holding up all the candles in the Great Hall. Or all the wires.
That's some serious, you know?
Yeah, for real.
That's how that goes. So.
There's.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm sure we'll be covering it like crazy when it starts to happen.
Yeah.
You're on Leaky.
A woman, Harry.
Yes, we will.
Hmm?
Yeah. What'd you say? Okay, I'll just move right on. Well, speaking of the films, this kind of cool thing, NECA, which has the North American license to the new Potter products, is really, we have a preview now of the new figures that they're. Last week we saw Mr. Albus Dumbledore, Professor, and this week we saw Voldemort.
Bad guy.
And he still has no shoes.
Aww.
He still has no shoes.
He doesn't need shoes. He's too cool for shoes. He has like this anti-splinter spell on his feet, so... He's protected.
I really want to know what kind of shoes Voldemort would wear, honestly.
Flip-flops.
Ew.
You think?
The Jesus sandals?
No, just flip-flops.
I call them Jesus sandals.
Those have straps, though.
Yeah. You're just talking like your regular basic
just
flip-flops
that
you get from Old Navy.
The little thing that goes between your big toe and your second big toe.
Like he's going for a pedicure.
Yeah.
Oh, he needs it. He's got gross-looking nails
really,
and gross-looking toes.
Really.
So.
A pedicure in hell.
Yeah, but the good news is that these new figures are going to be on shelves starting in mid-March, which is kind of exciting.
So these are the toys that are the first toys we've seen after there's supposedly like a new... distributor for all these things, like someone got a new license for a fifth movie?
Right. That's correct. And they're making two sets of toys. They're going to make like the ones that we saw here are the grouping from the first four movies. And then they're going to also preview, hopefully soon, a new set of just Order of the Phoenix. So maybe you'll get your Tony Motley one. That would be cool.
There's got to be a Grop toy.
These look a little bit like the last action figures we've seen, except that the last ones had the crazy, you know, like... stringy electricity kind of plastic thingy coming from people's arms. Remember those things?
Yeah.
They were weird.
Yeah, but these,
I don't know what that was all about.
But these looked a little. Yeah, but these look a little bit more detailed. I mean, you can even see like they have like you know how Voldemort's skin is so transparent. You can see like the veins and stuff in it. I just thought these would look a little bit more. I don't want to say higher quality, but just more detailed and more.
A little more attention to detail.
Yeah. Like we saw a prototype of the Hagrid one, and that comes with like baby Norbert and his umbrella and the little egg. And
now Norbert, refresh my memory, is the dragon that you know is with Charlie now after book one.
Yes.
Why are they putting him in book five merchandise?
Well, these figures are though. This series though is from the first four books or the first four movies.
Well, Voldemort's in it though.
Voldemort's on fire.
Right. He did to make it a small appearance, I guess. never mind.
Anyway, Bloomsbury comes out and says that they do not have Deathly Hallows yet. They have not given anyone permission to start taking pre-orders. If you go to a bookstore and somebody tells you when that book is coming out, they are wrong. So we're putting it out there. Guys, okay. We haven't done the blog challenge in a while. I am so tired of us getting emails saying, my bookstore said that it's coming out on May 6th. Oh, my goodness. Here's what you're going to do, guys. Go to your bookstore. Ask them when the Harry Potter book is coming out. If they give you any date at all, whether it's now or, you know, 5 years from now, you set them straight. Mm-hmm. You tell them to go to Leaky. You direct them right to the little... You know, we have a little disclaimer now on the bottom of the page about it.
Yes.
And then blog about it. Blog about your experience. We're gonna collect the best stories of what happens. Go and spread the word that we do not yet have a publication date for this book.
Yes. Yes.
It's not even that we don't have a publication date for this book. We have, like, a sincere lack of commentary about the possibility of when there might be a publication. Nobody has said anything. Jo hasn't even hinted that she's almost done the way she did with 6, the way she did with 5. So,
We had book clues in the book 5 about the solstice will come anew and all that nonsense. So, you think it's possible somewhere hidden in the books is... a clue for this release date?
No, I don't think she does it like that.
No.
Well, she did it for the title coming out.
How do you know she did that?
It's too big of a coincidence.
Oh my god. It's December 21st, near Christmas. It's not a big coincidence.
It's the solstice, and she said it'd be the solstice. And then none will come after.
But it's clever. That might be true, but there's nothing saying that that was in reference to when she was going to announce the title. Come on.
I think she'll be very proud of that, and she'll make a point to talk about it in interviews.
I hope so. I mean, it's possible, but we all knew that she was going to do something around Christmas. December 21st is near Christmas. Why not the solstice?
Right.
You know, she does seem to like the solstices, and that's true. But I would say that has much more likelihood of referring to something
right.
in the actual books about a solstice.
But it's just, I mean, every single article, I mean, we've just, you know, Bloomsbury has said that they have not given permission for them to take the pre-orders, and they just keep going. I mean, these retailers just keep going on, and mm-hmm. it's just becoming such a huge thing. And, I mean, they're saying, and they're setting prices. I'm like, it's just a big guesswork, folks. There's no, and they say they don't even have the manuscript because, quote, again, from Bloomsbury, they don't have the manuscript.
Right.
It's not done.
And there's sort of radio silence after they get the manuscript. They get the manuscript and they have their little internal meetings and the editors do their first reads and that kind of thing happens. So there's pretty much like maybe 2 weeks to a month from when they get the manuscript until we get a release date. And we've never had a release date less than 5 months from the announcement. So if they got the manuscript tomorrow and they announced it in the first week of February, then we might maybe have a July release.
Hmm.
So, you know, hey, it might be 7707, it might be 73107, it might be Halloween. We don't. But the point is that we don't know. And anybody who's telling you or anyone else that there is a date for that book is wrong. So we need you guys to go spread the word and save our email boxes, because every day. Every day. Well, here's the thing. When you input a book into one of these systems, like a Barnes & Noble or a Borders, whatever, you have to put a release date. You have to assign a release date to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, one clever lady who wrote us said, she put in, or no, who wrote in our comments, said she put in, like, January 1st, 2099 or something like that.
Whoa!
Something way far in the future, just so that she could input the book, instead of putting in July and getting people's, you know, getting people's hopes up.
Right.
For sure.
Right. Huh. I know. But they just, people are just flipping out, and we I mean, we're all excited. We know we all have our theories. The theories are fabulous and wonderful, and we can understand why you have for each of them. But, you know, there's no date yet. It's not done.
Go out, spread the word, blog about it. We want to hear your stories. We'll pick some good ones and talk about them on next week's show.
Indeed.
Can we talk about one more other book thing? Because our Miss Jo, speaking of books, Bloomsbury has released a special edition of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, or Philosopher's Stone, and it includes a new foreword by the author Alexander McCall Smith, and it also has something from our Jo. Talks about her top 10 books, some books that she, her favorite books, which I thought was kind of nice.
Cool.
John, have you ever read anything by Jane Austen? This is what everyone
is
wants to know.
Is this the one that said that Dear God, It's Me, Margaret?
Judy Blume.
Oh.
Jay. See, I wondered. I just saw that down.
No, I have yet. That's probably one of my resolutions this year, I'd have to imagine.
It is not.
Uh-huh.
You're lying. You're full of lies.
Never too late.
You know, I mean, Jo picks some really great books.
Well,
I mean, Emma by Jane Austen is one of her favorites, and she's said that many times, which I love.
She has. She says that she aims for the kind of plot twist, the ultimate plot twist that is at the end of Emma. Which, of course, we will.
Now, does Emma die at the end by defeating somebody with love?
Yeah, John.
That's
what happens.
That'd be a clue. That'd be a clue.
Okay. All right, so the other book thing, it's a bit of interesting news. I want to hear what you guys think about it. That the booksellers, the independent booksellers, are deciding not to stock Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Because the retail wars have gotten so intense that they cannot compete and they're going to lose money.
I mean, they're going to lose money. They're going to sell the book for less than they're buying it for?
Well, Amazon and Barnes & Noble and them might be selling it for less, because they can afford to do that. It's worth it to them to get customers, you know?
But, I mean, especially the last time, there was such a terrible price war in the UK, especially, that, I mean, the prices were just incredibly cheap, and it really hurt a lot of independent sellers. And, I mean, the one guy said he was even going to go buy it from, like, the supermarkets that sell them over there, because it was cheaper to buy it from them instead of their normal distributors, which I thought was just tragic, you know? I mean, it's bad enough that an independent, you know, merchants anymore, anywhere, let alone booksellers, are facing competition. But this is just, I mean...
Hey, independent booksellers, send us your stories about why you will or will not be stocking Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Staff at PotterCast.com. send us your stories about what you think about all this and whether it's worth it to stock the book, even if you're going to lose some money on it, or whether the big chains are eating your lives. And let us know. And we apologize to our lovely sponsors at Borders.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing about, we're not bashing major, you know, because I personally, I'll shop at places like Target, and then because, mm-hmm. I mean, totally. You know, come on. But I mean, we're not, but it'd be interesting to, I'd like to hear their perspective.
And how do you combat something like that? I mean, can you give discounts to independent bookstores? Is that fair? You know, I mean, it's a difficult situation.
I mean, everybody's got to sell, because we need to have as many powder parties in the world happening all at once.
Did you say powder parties?
I did. Mm. Remember that little buzzword from last time?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Moving on.
Okay, can we talk about my favorite subject now? Next to Hufflepuff.
Hufflepuff.
My Puff. We heard from my friend, Jason Isaacs.
Oh.
He thinks that fighting with Gary Oldman is magnificent. In Order of the Phoenix.
Well, naturally you would think such a thing.
Yeah.
Fun to fight.
Fun to do battle with Gary? I don't know.
Yeah, especially because Gary Oldman came so close to not being in the film.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Not.
But there was a new interview with him. He's always so hilarious. And then he was talking, I mean, for those that don't want to read it, I guess there's slight spoilers, but, I mean, he has a battle with Sirius Black in The Minister, which we all knew, and
nobody dies.
But it was great fun. No. But then the best part of the interview, though, is that he goes on and he met with Joe and he begged for her to let Joe or Lucius out of jail. I mean,
I wonder what she did. She probably was laughing at him. I mean, like, come on, Jason, you got to be a goof to think that Lucius is going to finish his days in Azkaban. Come on.
Yeah, there's no reason to keep him in jail other than to save him for book 7, because he would have just been killed. There's no reason that he wasn't killed other than we need him for book 7.
Because what happens? He sits in jail, and then he survives, and then you have the looming threat of Lucius escaping one day and being the next Dark Lord.
Yeah, that'll keep me up at night.
I think that, you know, Voldemort let him stay in jail just to make him, you know, to increase the bait on Draco. I don't think he's going to kill Lucius, but that's just my
theory. Lucius will be out of there by chapter 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we won't find out about it until chapter 9.
Well, the rest of the show is entirely about the Deathly Hallows. It's a full mailbag. We have our special K.
Huge mailbag.
It was all your emails. And, I mean, literally, I think we got to maybe 10, and there's just hundreds.
We got at least ten dozen or so.
Yeah, we got
some great ones. I mean, awesome.
Yeah, and our super much anticipated canon conundrums about religion will be appearing on next week's show. There is still time to send in your voicemails, emails, and opinions for the fan response to that canon conundrums. We're going to bring back your voicemails at the beginning of the canon conundrums segment.
I'm actually really surprised at the strong response this has gotten.
Well, it's something that a lot of people think about, but no one really talks about.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about it, and we'll probably do it in a little bit of an extended fashion.
Ooh.
Yay. There's a lot to cover, that's for sure.
Okay, so
let's go grab that special.
Yep, let's do that, and then we'll see you for the end.
Okay.
Everyone, this is Special K, and I don't even call myself that, but John, you all have to.
Chris,
so.
It's wrong from your mouth.
I love her.
This is a special mailbag. We're going to be taking your questions and comments about the title of the last book, which is, John.
Half-Blood
No.
That technically is the last book, but we mean the ultimate book.
The ultimate last book.
The ultimate.
Because Half-Blood Prince was the penultimate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh.
We're, of course, talking about Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Well, Brooke, a.k.a. Phoenix, E-S-Q, isn't it?
Esquire.
Like, means something?
Esquire,
yeah.
That's like
that
a Phoenix lawyer. That's a Phoenix lawyer.
That'd be a cool profession. Well, Brooke thinks, I think it's clear that this series is an arc. The topics introduced in books 1 through 3 end up being major plot points in books 5 through 7. In book 2, we are first introduced to Tom Riddle and the diary. We learn in book 6 about Tom Riddle's past and that the diary was a horcrux. In book 3, we first learn about Sirius Black. And in Book 5, we learn a lot more about the family from which he came. Book 1, we're introduced to the whole Potter universe. And one plot point that was introduced briefly in the first book is the night the Potters were killed. However, there are still a large number of unanswered questions about what happened that night. I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of magical residue left in Godric's Hollow from the night many years ago. Maybe Harry will get to, we'll get a read on what happened there long ago from the residual magic. It would be so appropriate and so like Joe to bring the story full circle and end it in the place on the anniversary of when the whole story begins. I just love the title because it has meaning on so many levels.
Well, what do you guys think?
I'd love to see a scene in Godric's Hollow.
Yeah, me too.
I'm sure we will be.
I think a lot of our readers want to see that too. We get a lot of email on that. Do you think we're going to go back to Godric's Hollow in the last book, or really go for the first time? We've only seen it in memories, so in flashbacks.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be really interesting.
Do you know what I like about Brooke's thing? She says that maybe Harry will learn from the residual magic, which we see Dumbledore do in Book 6, and we feel like Harry could keep dreaming he's never going to do that.
Wait,
but
what?
Maybe they go residual magic. Like, Dumbledore basically felt in the air where the magic was.
That's right.
Because
traces.
And now, maybe now that Harry's seen him do that, they'll show up in Godric's Hollow and Harry will feel something.
That'd be freaking cool.
You know? And do what Dumbledore did, at least a little bit. Maybe not to Dumbledore's level, you know?
Well, here is 100% why there will be a scene in Godric's Hollow. Because we remember Jo talking about the first time she wrote the first chapter of Book 1, how she gave pretty much everything away. She wrote out, you know, basically all the answers, a lot more in Godric's Hollow. And she cut it out. So obviously there's a lot more to tell that we haven't seen show up many other places.
Well,
so it's got to show up somewhere. I don't think she'd just scrap all those ideas completely.
But not only that, but Harry said Godric's Hollow in the last page of the book, too, about possibly going
there.
Yeah.
Well, if you have to cool Book 6, I'm just trying to be even more thoughtful.
Well, it was a very good point, though.
The lady herself.
Yeah, it's a very good point. So,
well, we also have to learn about those missing 24 hours, mm-hmm. which all has to do with Godric's Hollow.
Right.
We have to learn about when Joe said, no comment to the question of, was there anybody else in Godric's Hollow? You know, there's so many unanswered questions about there that we have to get back there.
Absolutely.
Wormtail was there.
You think?
Of course Wormtail was there. Why else do you think Voldemort would tell Lily to move aside?
What?
It was the condition on which Wormtail gave him the information, because Wormtail had a huge crush on Lily Potter.
No, you mean Snape.
I think you're talking
Snape.
About...
No, not Snape. That's not
Hello.
Hello. Snape didn't hang out with Harry and with James and his gang mm-hmm. and Lily. There was
Maybe
no way
Lily.
For him to have a crush. It was Wormtail.
That's right. Impossible. Okay, next email.
I know everything. Read a special K.
Okay, the next email is from Robert B. This is probably stating the obvious, but the word hallowed means holy or sacred. Combined with deathly, it definitely gets me thinking of a graveyard or similar burial ground type place. I tend to think that the title must then refer to a sacred burial ground, but where are these grounds exactly, and what is their significance? Could the title refer to the resting place for Tom Riddle's father in Goblet of Fire, or perhaps some place of importance we may not have seen yet?
Hmm.
You know, we also get a lot of email from people who really think that there must be some kind of burial ground or graveyard involved.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's a good theory.
You know what? That had me thinking is that we did see the graveyard for, you know, Voldemort's parents. And because we're so interested in seeing these parallels between Voldemort and Harry, it'd be neat just to see, you know, from, you know, Harry's parents' graves as a comparison, or as a similarity as well, I guess, to see the differences.
You wonder if Harry will make a visit to where Dumbledore's grave is at some point, you know? That could be, because I know we had talked before, maybe in some of these mailbags or in one of the conundrums or something about, there was reference to in the movies about a graveyard that Joe had said to Alfonso Cuarón about that possibly showing up later in one of the books. But so I just was thinking it had maybe that the graveyard will be, he'll just simply go to go pay his respects to Dumbledore or to try and commune with him or something. I don't know.
No.
So maybe. I don't know.
See, I think that Dumbledore's probably buried at Hogwarts. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I thought they set up. I mean, I'm trying to remember. Am I crazy? Was he buried above ground, like in a... like a tomb sort of thing?
Well, he was in a tomb.
A crypt.
Maybe this is referring to where that tomb went. Maybe that's where the Hallows are, on Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Where the old headmasters and, you know, people
know
who married
it.
Isn't it buried.
Put where it is? Isn't it staying where they did the funeral?
Well, wasn't it right on the lawn? I'm not going to leave him on the lawn.
No.
Well, it's a freaking big tomb. You need quite a few Wingardiums to move that thing around.
Well,
yeah, I think they'll manage.
You see Flitwick, aren't they? His sweat and beads coming from his forehead.
No, but...
come on.
You know, here's a thought about... I'm sorry, Sue, go ahead.
No, I was going to say you had a good point about that because, you know, I'm, like, really into history and archaeology, and a lot of, like, the old monasteries and stuff, the old monks and the religious leaders were buried beneath the thing, so why can't the other headmasters and stuff be buried beneath Hogwarts?
Mm-hmm.
That's a really... and you're talking...
oh, man.
You know, Melissa had raised a point before about it being in a place... the Hallows being in a place of, you know, the underground, so maybe...
I love that, Sue.
It
reminds
still,
me of that book. What's that? It's not the Da Vinci Code.
I knew you were going to say that. Angels and Demons. I was just going to say that.
Yeah. Yes.
You took it. I was going to say it reminds me of when they described the vaults underneath the Vatican in Angels and Demons.
Right.
Damn, John, we're on the same.
Yep.
Well, I'm only as dumb as I look.
So I think that's really a possibility. I really do. I mean, that's a... ooh. Cool.
And it'd be so cool just to hear that described.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it'd be weird if that's another place that isn't on the Marauder's map.
Absolutely.
I mean, it wouldn't make sense for it to be. I can't imagine, you know, that's something they spent time to put on their map, but...
and she did say that, that we were going to find out a little bit more about which teachers had wives and husbands and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe that has to do with that area. Maybe
yeah.
they're buried there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
Maybe.
That'd be cool, though. Oh. Awesome.
Well, what's the next one here, Say? We got a few to get through.
Okay. Jacqueline says, well, we all know that Lily and James Potter lived in Godric's Hollow, and that's where Voldemort killed them. My theory is that this town and or house is a very magical and important, not just because that's where Lily and James lived. Godric must have something to do with Godric Gryffindor. I think this is where he lived in addition to Hogwarts. So perhaps this is where Voldemort placed the Gryffindor Horcrux. It could even be Harry's old home. The Death Eaters and Voldemort wanted the town/house for themselves to capitalize on the magic Godric Gryffindor left behind. That's why Lily and James had to be killed, so they could have free access to the lasting powers of Gryffindor that may be left behind in the house and or town. The question remains, does this mean Harry is a descendant of Godric Gryffindor? Also, why hasn't Harry ever been back there? Seems like Dumbledore would have taken him there to show him where his roots were. Again, something is at Godric's Hollow that holds the key to this all. That's where the story began with Voldemort and his town/home, and that's where it will end.
You know, can I just comment on the remark that Dumbledore surely would have taken him to show him where his roots are? Dumbledore really didn't tell Harry anything. He didn't communicate well with him.
It's really awful.
He withheld so much information. I don't think you can take him doing something or not doing something as evidence of anything.
Well, that's on Harry, too, though. I mean, I think Dumbledore, after Book 5, would have told him about anything he asks. It's like, the kid is the most uncurious kid I've ever heard of in my life. He's got, hey, my parents were magical. That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
I don't really care what they did for a living or how they met.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just going to go with, that's pretty cool that they went to this school, and that's the end of it.
Pretty oblivious to a lot of things,
Honest to God, you know, really. Ask some questions.
Yeah, we've been screaming about that for a
while. Let's go to a candy store and, like, look around and, you know, have a gumdrop and not be curious about any other stuff there.
Well, I remember when, before Book 5 came out, J.K. Rowling said that Harry asks a lot of questions that a reader might wonder why he hasn't asked before. And I remember thinking, oh, finally, he's going to ask what his parents did for a living. He's going to find out about his history. And all he did was ask why it always has to be him, and he whined and moaned.
I know.
I was like, Harry.
Bugger.
He yelled a lot during that book.
Caps lock Harry.
I hope he's a little more inquisitive than this last one.
Hopefully.
He would have to be.
At the very least, somebody being inquisitive on his behalf.
Now, as far as Godric's Hollow being the home of Godric Gryffindor, yeah, I mean, obvious theory. I don't know that anyone's thought about that being where the Horcrux is. Have you guys heard that before?
I mean, I sort of thought that's what they would find there.
I mean, we get like 15 emails a day that Harry is the Horcrux. Has anyone proposed that Harry might be the Horcrux? It's like, yes, like 14
Harry
other
could
people.
Be Horcrux.
Really?
Oh,
no.
I don't know that as many people have really thought about Godric's Hollow, but yeah, I think we're definitely going to go back there.
Yeah.
Well, here's two things in this that J.K. Rowling has commented on. Godric Gryffindor, she has said that it is to do, Godric Hollow is to do with Godric Gryffindor. Well, she hasn't said it explicitly, but she commented that her editor, she was saying to her editor, don't you think there's something interesting about Godric's Hollow? Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Yeah.
And Godric Gryffindor. So yeah, she said that to Lizzo, like, back in 2000.
Yeah.
And then it says, the question remains, does this mean that Harry is a descendant of Godric Gryffindor? In the interview that we did with her in July of 2005, I said something like, she answered a question, I said, well, doesn't that shoot down the heir of Gryffindor theory? And she said, yes.
Oh.
I don't really think he's a descendant anymore.
I know, because Harry is not going to be like, by the power of Gryffindor, I will do these powerful spells now, because
yeah.
I'm really
yeah,
powerful.
Exactly.
Actually, no, I'm just a regular kid, and that's why this is cool, because
right.
any regular kid can do all these things.
Right.
Which is nice, I appreciate that, it's her story. I want him to be by the power of Godric. I will call upon my sword and cast triple strength spells, because that's what I can do. But nope.
Okay. Sue, why don't you tell us what's next?
Okay, from Amber P., where she writes, Deathly Hallows means that someone is making silent, dangerous reverences or references to something, probably to the four founders. The Horcruxes are said to involve the founders, so this title, in essence, refers to the Horcruxes, as they would certainly be deathly and set apart as wholly respected by Voldemort. Yeah.
Here's my problem with the Horcruxes being deathly. Yes, the book was deathly, but it was meant to be deathly. Is the locket deathly?
Well, the ring was pretty deathly, for gosh sakes.
Well, the ring itself, but I guess the actual Horcrux is... I mean, the actual bit of soul is death. But the Horcrux is the item that holds it. The item that holds it itself, I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking too closely.
I think it's whatever is surrounding it is what is deathly. If you think about it, every Horcrux that we've seen has been dangerous.
I don't know. I think we saw the Locket Horcrux and
the Locket Horcrux
died.
Pretty much killed Dumbledore from having to drink the stuff that was on top of it.
No, it wasn't. That wasn't the real.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the Horcrux, the item. The ring probably wouldn't have killed Dumbledore if he. I mean, he picked it up out of a house. It's when you try to kill the Horcrux inside that you get
right.
That the death.
How did that hurt
happens.
His hand? If he, what did he try to do to it? Bend it or something?
Destroy it? No, destroy the Horcrux.
With his wand.
Because it's a ring. It's a ring, and inside is the Horcrux, and he can carry the ring around all he wants, but it's when you try and destroy the Horcrux with the magic, whatever that Voldemort has placed on it.
That's why I wish he would have told us exactly how it hurt his hand. Was it his wand hand?
Probably him not telling us is not, like, Joe forgetting. I think maybe
well,
there's a reason.
I mean, it would have think it'd been helpful here, Harry. Here's how you're going to go out find these Horcruxes. I'm not going to tell you how to actually destroy him, though, and what's dangerous about attempting to destroy him. Because that would probably be in your well-being.
Can I say something? This is going to sound really bizarre, but I think that deathly part and the Hallows do refer to the four founders. I've long been a proponent of that. But the deathly part, I was kind of thinking, well, what if it's like the anti-deathly, that the Horcruxes are to preserve Voldemort's life? And it's because it's the essence of trying to stop death. That's kind of maybe it's part of implied with that. I don't know. Just
interesting.
I like that idea too. That maybe there are other items that are the antidote to this death. That you know,
yeah,
can cause Voldemort's death.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thinks these Horcruxes make him immortal.
Yeah,
is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's what the popular perception is. I never thought of it that way, but... I mean, you think if that's the case, then, mm-hmm. like, upon the search for Horcruxes, we could find, like, a Horcrux for somebody else, like Salazar or something. He's just chilling and, you know, somewhere we don't know about.
Well, maybe he was the first one to dabble in this. I mean, we don't know where the Horcruxes came from, who developed this, or, you know, I mean, who exactly came up with this whole...
How crazy, unbelievably BA would it be for them to find Salazar and, like, Salazar help him in the fight against Voldemort?
Wow.
Because Salazar had a Horcrux.
Why would Salazar help them against Voldemort?
Because Salazar maybe wasn't a bad guy.
You know, it's possible that he wasn't. I mean, yes, yeah. He started all the prejudice thing, but it's possible that he... That was just his belief, but he wasn't, like... No, he made the freaking basilisk. What am I talking about?
I mean, at some point, he was friends with Godric, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there was a rift, and he turned bad.
And we don't understand what that rift was. That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
This little minor thing.
At some point, Riddle was, you know, a kid in an orphanage.
Yeah.
This doesn't mean they stay that way.
Moving on.
Next, we have Sarah D. I've always thought that the final battle between Harry and Voldemort would take place at Godric's Hollow. It only seems symbolic and right for the final battle to take place there. Voldemort started this whole thing at Godric's Hollow when he killed Harry's parents, and Harry will end it there when he defeats Voldemort! ! You can look at it as a boomerang.
That's right.
The throw was Harry's parents getting killed there.
All right.
Then we have the rest of the story taking place away from Godric's Hollow. Then the story comes back to where it was originally started. We have never really been to Godric's Hollow or know that much about it. This is a part of the story that is mysterious, obviously referring to the 24-hour gap of events that took place between October 31st and Harry showing up on the Dursley's doorstep. I believe that when Harry goes back to Godric's Hollow, he will discover a piece of information about Voldemort. I sort of have this vision of Harry standing in front of what is left of the house in which his parents were killed and having a flashback to the night, but from a point of view where he can see everything that is happening, and it's after this flashback that he will learn more about the night that his parents were killed and that he will unravel this piece of information about Voldemort. I think that Deathly refers to the fact that Harry's parents died at Godric's Hollow, and so much death and destruction riddled Godric's Hollow that fateful Halloween night.
I really don't think Hallows is actually referring to Godric's Hollow.
Yeah,
a lot of people seem to think that.
I don't either.
I do like the idea of him seeing actually what happened from a different point of view somehow.
Mm-hmm. I think he's going to time travel.
I think that the idea of Harry going back in time travel is a good one. And for him to actually witness the events again would be really cool. I just think.
Now, how is he going to time travel?
Tell me how the hell he's going to get back.
Yeah. Because all the time turners, they're gone.
Well, oh, you know there's one on somebody's neck somewhere that he's
going to be able to use. You can't go forward with the time turner.
You can, well...
Was he going to stay in 1981 forever?
How do you know you can't go forward? How do you know you can't go forward with the time
turner? I've never heard of that being done.
But time is time. If you're going to manipulate time, you can go forward, backwards, forward, whatever. You know?
You're supposed to be?
It doesn't say it's only a backwards time for time turner. It says it's a time turner.
It's a turner, not a forwarder.
Turner doesn't mean back, John.
Just
I hate to break it to you.
I don't know. When they say turn back time, like Cher's famous song, you don't want to turn back forward
right.
time.
Joe was listening to Cher.
I
want to
turn back time.
Oh, my God.
What are you, turning back?
Flinging your hair around, John, like she did.
Yeah.
So,
I guess like you, babe.
I'm
a shade that was torn apart.
Okay, can we seriously?
So we have a share theory of the time.
You know? All right, next one.
Novella writes, Harry's dead loved ones, who are all saints, of course, will be fatal to somebody. Dumbledore, James and Lily Potter, Sirius Black, and Cedric Diggory will use their supernormal powers, the love they held for Harry, to help Harry destroy Voldemort.
I'm thinking Cedric Diggory didn't really have all that much love for Harry. I think he liked him fine, but...
I've read fanfics to the contrary.
Thank you for sharing.
See, no, I haven't read those fanfics. I've heard of those fanfics. That was the joke.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like the whole, you know, golden bubble thing, you know, Priori Incantatum thing, and I don't know that that's...
Well, I wonder. I wonder if Harry won't force his wand to do combat with Voldemort again.
No.
For a purpose, to get these people out of the wand, to have them do something.
No.
Ooh.
A deliberate.
Like they're like, aeons.
What?
Like, you know. Like Ifrit and Shiva and those guys. No?
What pop culture reference are you referencing now?
No one plays Final Fantasy. Never mind.
I love Final Fantasy, but I don't know that.
Oh, well, you know, the Guardian Force of the Aeons, you know, they gotta pray at the temple.
No,
and...
I played Final Fantasy 1, the little Nintendo one where they shuffle their feet around. That one. Okay, anyway. What do you guys think?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm all for them. Him hearing from the past. I believe for a fact he's going to hear from Sirius again. I mean, I just think that's
given. He's got to.
But Sue, that means you're going to have to let him out of your closet for him to contact you.
In the room, I don't know.
Gary Oldman's been sending messages in bottles, shoving them up under the door.
Set me free. I don't know.
No, we cannot have. And, you know, Sirius back in 7. We have to go through the whole, you know, they want him in the movie, but they don't want him in the movie nonsense again.
Oh, God.
Seriously, I'm not looking forward to that.
That was so annoying.
Get me out of here. All right. Let's move.
Who's next?
On the next
one. MR2 says, it is possible that it means that all the souls, quote, hallows, of all the people Voldemort has killed will come back on Halloween and, with Harry's help, take Voldemort and his last fragment of soul away to the underworld. Ooh.
That would kick ass.
This person says that he thinks that the hallows are the souls of all the people that he's killed who will come back and help kill Voldemort. What do you think of that?
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
I can't believe I didn't think of that.
John, I have no idea why you didn't think of that.
I don't know.
I just think of everything.
Usually someone does know everything.
I'm so smart. I sit in my calculus class and know the answers before the questions are given.
Okay.
I say 3, and he says that is correct.
Okay, so...
You know, that's...
Who has something intelligent to say?
This is really interesting about those souls, again, because about the Horcruxes and stuff, but I don't want to see... It implies that, I don't know, that they're ghosts or something, that they've come back. I like to believe that they've gone on, that they're actually gone. Now, Sirius, on the other hand, I don't think is actually, because I think he's trapped somewhere in that veil, but...
You think Sirius hasn't moved on?
Well, yeah, because I don't think that he's actually gone all the way. I mean, I just don't think he's like... I mean, I'd like to hear that. I like the sense that they would be able to come back and help him somehow in the way that their presence or, like, you know, like when you pray or, like, I don't know, angels. And I understand that sense, but I don't want to hear, I don't want, like, an army of the dead coming back, you know. I just don't like that connotation to that. It just kind of bothers me. I don't know.
It makes me think of Army of Darkness.
It does. It's just too Lord of the Ringish to me, and I don't know.
Aw.
I don't know.
Okay.
We like Lord of the
Rings. Moving on.
Okay. I love it. Yeah. Angela, she writes, my theory about the title is that Harry will discover that he must go back to the night where everything began for him, October 31st, 1981. Harry will use a time-turner. J.K. said in an interview she would rule out time-turners in another book, and seeing as this is the last, to get there. I'm not sure if someone else was with him or not. There, he will gain some kind of knowledge or assistance, as Harry was the one outside the Potters the night Lily and James died. Harry was the one who informed Dumbledore about what had happened. This is how Dumbledore knew what he must do with baby Harry. This would have been an extremely difficult task for him, because he would have wanted to save his parents, but if he did, there would be no world left as he knew it.
Oh, my mind sort of... reeling right now. I mean, because this is just what we said, that Harry would go back and he would find it really, really difficult to stop himself. And
what does he do then?
He learns what happens, so that he learns what he must... There must be something that he has to go find out there in order to kill him.
Yeah, there must be some kind of clue on that day. In the past.
That Harry is the one who informed Dumbledore. And Dumbledore then had the confidence to let... Well, Dumbledore had the confidence to let Harry do all those things that he was going to do in Hogwarts because he knew that Harry survived.
Oh,
right.
Gosh.
Oh, I hope we're not going to get a letter from the lawyers tomorrow, because we just nailed that one out of the ballpark.
No, Angela, my brain hurts.
Is there a point in reading the others?
Angela is one of my pseudonyms, actually.
That's one of my favorite theories ever.
I like
because
that.
We just spoke about him going back and him having to stop himself from happening, but she added this bit about Harry tell Dumbledore what happened. Who else was there the night of Godric's Hollow?
I love it.
But somebody else obviously had to be there because Voldemort had to get his wand.
Could that explain why Snape hates him so much? Because he saw Harry there, and then Snape was the other one there, and he's been waiting all this time that Harry will find it out.
Oh,
that's good. I think this is
my God.
This is getting the vote for the most intriguing theory, definitely.
Oh, yes.
So wait, you think it's why Snape
has hated Harry, because Snape was there that night too. This is what I think. And mm-hmm. then he sees when Harry comes back. And then he realizes, you know, all this time that he's, you know, I don't know.
And maybe something happens between them at that moment that makes Snape hate Harry a little bit more, and then have to deal with the Harry that doesn't know that they're going to have that confrontation.
Exactly.
And not
so the whole time. Oh God.
I feel like I've already read book 7. Let's close the site down. I'm done. Stop. I don't even care anymore.
Oh, that would be.
I know the end, and that was it.
Wow.
It's a pretty good book, I gotta say.
Thanks, John.
Okay, well, I hate to leave the theory, but we probably should move on.
We only have time for about one or two more here.
Okay, the next one, Laura writes in, I believe the Deathly Hallows could be a kind of magical underworld, like in Greek and Roman literature. Harry may have to travel there to retrieve a Horcrux or meet with a powerful wizard that may help him. The Deathly Hallows could also be what is beyond the veil, as the word Hallows resonates with death and Halloween. That's a well-stated theory.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. She's going to go back through the veil and grab the thing he needs and come back more powerful than ever.
Oh.
His hair is going to be turned white because of all the power, like Rogue. And it's going to be sweet.
He'll tie something to himself to anchor himself like the snow sand in the Princess Bride.
Like yes. Yeah, get some bed sheets or something.
Yeah, I'm sure that a piece of rope could stop you from dying if you go through the veil. Sure.
He could pull himself back.
No, once you're through that, unless there's, but this is a story. There could be a loophole.
Yeah.
But what happens if you just put your hand in, though? Your hand dies and the rest of you is cool?
Yeah, but that's what happened to Dumbledore's hand.
That's what Dumbledore did. Dumbledore's like, I know how I can get rid of the Horcrux. I'll kill it. I'll put my hand in.
Huh.
I'm not going to put it on like a frying pan or something. I'll just use my hand.
Because he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
Dumbledore.
Or not.
He doesn't care on frying pans very often.
He's not a chef,
really,
is he?
He's not, like, carrying around, like, a Mary Poppins bag with everything in it.
Dumbledore/Iron Chef. Okay.
That's it. Oh, I watched that show, actually.
Well, that's interesting. I really like the idea of it going, of it being the Behind the Veil place.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, what?
Yeah,
are we going to see the veil again, Joe? No comment, kids.
That's not what she said.
What'd she say?
It was about the locked room. She said,
yeah.
Anyone ask her about the veil?
We didn't ask if we were going to see the veil again.
Oh.
No, there are plenty of other things to ask.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's doing like a whole week of questions with her, man.
Hey, Joe, are we going to see Grip Hook again? No comment, guys. Thanks. Would give everything away.
That's a hot question. Is Grip Hook and
Grip Hook?
Yes.
Okay. Stephanie, a.k.a. PNGHD on the Leaky Lounge, says, since Halloween seems too early for Voldemort to attack, he will attack on what used to be when All Hallows Day was celebrated, which occurs the week after Pentecost, 7 weeks after Easter, on June 7, 1998. This would give Harry, Hermione, and Ron almost a year to hunt down the Horcruxes. My theory comes from analyzing the etymology of both Deathly and Hallows, plus looking at the history of All Hallows Day, a.k.a. All Saints Day, and All Hallows Eve. What exactly will occur on June 7th, I do not know exactly, but I expect it to be the final battle and possibly the day that Harry will martyr himself, though I wish he would live, to exterminate Voldemort and bring peace to the wizarding world once more.
June, well, Harry does something that he might die, but like he thinks he's going to die, and he'll do it anyway, but then he doesn't actually end up dying.
That's okay.
That'd be crazy.
That really wasn't the salient point here. June 7th, she thinks this is.
June 7th. Is
June
that when the
7th.
Book's coming out?
Well, that's a big date.
No!
No, it's coming out 7/7/7, haven't you heard?
No, Kristen!
I thought it was March 31st.
We have 7/31, we have March 31st, we have Halloween, we have
September 1st, yeah.
It's coming out on all those dates, guys. Go to the bookstore on all those dates.
I just don't see that. I mean, that date is just...
too soon.
Too soon.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And can I just say this? We're talking about it. And ending at Godric's Hollow. Wouldn't it be perfectly interesting if it just ended the book in the time frame, like date calendar-wise, ended on Halloween? I mean, there's no saying that it has to go all the way through till June.
Yeah, totally.
And that the epilogue, that last chapter, can say, well, they ended up graduating and, you know, so. She could wrap it up that way. So,
you know, wouldn't that be fun if that's how the book did end? It was like, you know, Molly Weasley went on to do da-da-da-da-da. And, like, for the film, you could do it like how they end movies that way, where, like, they do a little video and they freeze it.
Or, like, the end of the Spelling Bee musical.
Yes, that would make everybody so happy that loves to end the films on, like, freeze frames. Yeah. Because they'd be, like, 100 freeze frames.
Yeah, you could go on forever. It could be a four-hour movie of just that.
And who would narrate the words?
You, John.
Tony Mosley?
You crop.
Anyway, this is an interesting theory.
I love that guy.
June 7th, I think, is an interesting theory, but again, I don't think that's going to happen.
No. And unfortunately, we only have time for one more quick one here.
Josh says, since deathly is an adjective, I think that the hollow can be interpreted in the noun sense. This would mean a saint or holy person resembling death. I think the deathly hallows are the four founders. Deathly, they are all dead. Hallows, an archaic noun, so this relates to the fact that they lived a very long time ago. Also, they were all looked up to as saints by at least one group of people.
Now, deathly, okay, ly words are usually adverbs, but ly words can sometimes be adjectives. Deathly is a description, the same way beautiful, ugly, loud, annoying, those are descriptions. Deathly, in this sense, is a description, so it's more an adjective than an adverb. An adverb is she said testily. The testily is an adverb. There's nobody would say she said deathly.
Isn't testily describing how she said something?
Yeah. Deathly is not
Isn't
describing.
An adjective, then?
That's an adverb. Testily would be an adverb.
So what is an adjective?
It modifies a noun. It modifies a person, place, or thing. It describes a person, place, or thing.
And an,
a beautiful
and an
day.
Adverb. Oh.
A deathly hallow.
Oh.
Which is funny, because everybody thinks it's an adverb, and it looks like an adverb, but here it's really looking like an adjective.
I couldn't be any more interested.
We actually did get some more emails about the same thing, though, so, I mean, this is actually pretty good to answer, I mean, because...
Seriously, people...
Totally.
I was like, oh, she put an adverb in the title, oh my god.
Oh my god, Joe!
How could you do it? Josh thinks that since deathly is an adjective, that means a hallow's a noun. No, I'm not saying it again. He's saying that since it's an adjective, he thinks that hallow is a noun because deathly is an adjective, so that means that they're definitely the founders. But hallows can be objects. Hallows can be a place.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
yeah, it doesn't have
founders.
To be.
Hallows
right.
could be, you know, I don't know.
Well, we're just full of interesting thoughts, aren't we?
I like to leave it on a high note.
Yeah, well... In other words, guys, we have no more better idea than you do.
Okay, are we done?
Well, I'm gonna get out of here about now.
Okay.
All right, well, let's push on to the end of the show.
Bye.
Thanks very much, Special K, for joining us for the mailbag.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Ultra
had a good time.
Ultra Megazord edition.
Megazord.
I love it. My thing survives. Power Rangers.
Goodbye.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
We are back.
Hey,
after
back.
Long mailbag.
Who's that over there?
We got to take a break.
Is your mind still blown? Because my mind is still
my mind. I'm hurt.
Well, I think we hit upon some. I mean, I don't want to toot our horn too much, but in that conversation, there were a couple of things that I think we sort of cracked.
I'm pretty sure we've got it all figured out now.
All of it, John?
Just about everything other than what happens to Arthur and Molly. About everything else is set.
They live happily ever after. Come on. I'm going to be mad if they don't.
Now, do the Weasleys have a swimming hole in the backyard of the burrow?
Swimming hole?
Like a pond or
like,
a place
you know,
to swim.
Like a lake.
I think they live near a lake, don't they?
Do they?
They showed one like in the movie, but that doesn't mean it's canon,
single,
you know?
Every single fanfic has a lake in the back of the burrow where the kids swim.
Well, that would make sense. Well, I mean, with all those kids.
Well, what are they going to do? It's fanfic. They need to get them into bathing suits, and they need to get them near the water.
Yes.
And they need to get them in the sun. That's what fanfic is for, sometimes.
That's right.
You know, no fun without a lake.
This is true.
Right, baby.
I don't know. I don't like swimming in lakes that have really gross bottoms.
I never got the whole idea of swimming in a lake, to be honest, because it's gross.
It's really, really mushy and slimy and
I don't really like cold.
I used to go to camp. Every summer, I used to go to summer camp up in New Hampshire, man, and there would be these big lakes where we had camp. Mm-hmm. Even before I went to, was a camp counselor growing up, we used to go vacation up there. I love swimming in lakes.
Mm-hmm. It's not like gross or there's no kelp on you or anything?
Mm. Well, yeah, like if you go like some of the rocks, it could be slimy, but I mean.
You get leeches.
No, I've never had leeches. I didn't go in the Amazon or anything like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know?
Well, maybe the leeches were Slytherins and they only liked pure blood, so.
How dare you! Oh!
Okay. Reminder.
Those Slytherin leeches.
I'm going to hiss at you in lieu of Moochka.
Yeah, Mooch, get out of here! Go to your home.
Poor Moochka. And just as a little update, the very second that I showed up back in my apartment without John, became the sweetest, meekest little Moochka again.
What a coincidence.
She became my baby again.
Sure.
She's like, yay, John's gone!
I think Melissa was playing this hyper-pitched sound the whole time I was there, so she would just be annoyed and pissed off the whole time. And cats can hear it, too.
I guess. I think it just drives dogs a little madder than...
Yeah.
Well, my laugh would scare dogs on the last show, so I'm not going to do that anymore.
Oh, Sue.
I've learned.
Oh, Sue. All right. Just a reminder, the blog challenge is back. We also have our MySpace thing. If you...
Go to your
friend Pottercast on MySpace. MySpace.com/Pottercast. And you put us in your top friends.
Mm-hmm.
Then you let us know. We will put you in a shout-out list.
Speaking of that, before we get to it, you know what I have on my Pottercast page? Or my MySpace page? A very cool countdown.
Oh, right.
Oh, countdown for what, Sue?
So cool. It's for the Order of the Phoenix movie, John.
Oh.
Which all kinds of cool pictures on it. Everything. Right times and everything.
Which picture do you use on your default countdown viewer?
I have Mr. Snape right now.
Ooh, Snape's a good choice.
Yeah. Very cool.
What about you, Melissa? What do you have?
I have the picture... do you know what happened? It got taken off my MySpace. I don't know why. I know. It's terrible. I gotta go put it back.
Just pretend and say you had one of them.
Well, I don't like to lie, but when I do put it back, and it's just an oversight, when I do put it back, it will probably be the Voldemort one.
Hmm.
Ooh, that's
mine currently is cool. Ginny Weasley.
You know, I really thought yours was gonna be Ivana, John.
Oh.
You know why?
Because John has a crush.
They're called Festus. Now, lots of you have wrote in to say your opinion on my impersonation. Very few bits of constructive criticism. That's disappointing. I can't ever improve unless I hear how I need to improve. So just for the record, here we are again. Let's play the Ivana.
They call it Festus.
All right, not bad. And now me.
They call it Festus.
Not bad, he says, about the way she actually, you know, she can't possibly be wrong. Not bad, he says.
Well, come on. We are talking about, you know, acting here.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, now, if you think that I'm still missing the mark, write back to tell me why I'm missing the mark.
Oh, I love you, John.
Just one more time for good measure?
No.
They called Festus.
Okay. Well, we have a lot of people to say hello to from MySpace. These are people who have friended us, and it's like it's like 2 weeks of them because we stink.
Yeah.
We're gonna go through these real fast. I'll start.
Right.
Kira, Victoria, Jay, Kiki, Gordy, Frodo himself, Ken from SD,
yay.
Robert Kruger, New Music, Lisa, Quinn, Paula, Andy, Paige, Princess Dumbledore, Sister Snape, and Monsieur Fancy Pants. No, Mick Fancy Pants. I like that. Somebody else go.
Sorting Hat, Angel, Daniel, Jenny, John is sexy. Katie, Bethany, ooh. Deathly Hallows makes me want to cut my heart.
Oh.
Matt King, Mickey, it smells like John Noe. No, there you go. how did I get these?
I don't know.
Fitzbats, Aaron, Jonald, Georgia, Isabel, Scott, Ashley, Savannah, Hazel, Marisa,
Luna. Go ahead, Sue.
Well, in the comments, you can always leave a comment, and you can say, Kate-Jan, Zoe, Daniel, Nolan, S. Holmes, Potterbug, Lacey, Sarah, Nick, Timu, I am a Horcrux, Old Mr. Toad, Maja, Rupert Lever 13, Mooney, oh, someone else takes this one, I can't say this one.
Quixotic Listen. Dreams, Andrea, Nika Brook, MJP, Ralph, Zombie Wrangler, Brenna, Twin Widow Mafia, Adam, Sarah DLS, Gorguz Georgie? What the heck? Somebody's going to write in to tell me how to really pronounce that. Here in Oz, J-Lock, Emmy, Antoinette, IU, Jesse, Nikki, Abby, Tanya, Jamie, Katie, the other me, Allison, Amy, Sasha, Alex, Autumn, and Michael. Jeez, man.
And Frack.
Peoples. And Frack.
Frack, because we love you, Frack.
Well, thank you. Don't forget that we have so many community things. There's a Facebook group. There's a MySpace group. There's a YouTube group. There's a lot of things.
What's that thing called where you tell us where you live and you put your pin in the hole? What's that all about?
Frapper. There's a frapper.
A frapper.
Before we go, I have to tell the one big story that we hinted at in the beginning.
It's not that.
When we were doing our New Year's Eve thing in Times Square, we were very bored and we were standing straight for 12 hours.
Yeah.
So we decided in the Harry Potter tradition, or what is now Harry Potter legend, play hangman.
Yes.
And, you know, all stupid things from our lives became these funny jokes. And John...
Sweet and sour pork.
Had it right one out, and I asked for an O, and he didn't give me the O, and then I asked for an A, and he gave me an A, and I'm finally looking at this arrangement of letters, and I asked for an L, and there were two L's in a row, and I asked for a W, I didn't ask for a W, I asked for an I, and it was I-L-L, and I just said,
sure.
I looked down, I looked up, and I looked down, I looked up, I said, is that Whomping Willow? And he said, yes, you got it, and then he wrote it out. Whamping Willow with his A.
It's the English pronunciation, like in Britain. That's how they pronounce it.
For which I smacked him over the head. Don't play hangman with John. It's an exercise for frustration.
I understand this, though, because
when you're from Ohio, everything's like you're from Ohio. There's an A in everything.
Whamping Willow.
I understand that.
Whamping Willow!
Whamping.
I'm sorry. The best part of it, though, was when the next night we saw Hot Cheryl.
Yeah.
I told Hot Cheryl this story, and Editor Cheryl, you could see the pain ripple through her face when she heard that he spelled Whomping with an A.
Yes.
She tried to control it, too, but as soon as we said it, you could see her face, like shake.
A little flicker
so
there.
So funny, I died.
Yes. And now you're back.
So who won the outcome of the game though?
I did pretty well for myself.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, no one ever actually got hung. We all got it at the end.
Because we laughed. No, you lost once.
I lost to what? Snuffleupagus.
Once. Oh no, I got Snuffleupagus. Remember, Snuffleupagus was once.
I picked like the best words.
It was like three letters, and I looked at him. I was like Snuffleupagus, and he just starts laughing, and then he started naming a bunch of Chinese food, which made us not hungry at all.
Pork.
Yeah,
and I hate sweet and sour pork.
Ugh. What was the one that you lost
that
on? I don't think it's adequate to say on the show, actually.
Probably not.
Shock.
We had some private jokes in there. Okay. Well, guys, it's been fun.
Oh, it's been so great. You know, as far as Pottercast 72s go, it's probably one of the best ones we've managed to do this year.
Oh. You know, a new year, I kind of hope that would go away.
Oh, it ain't going anywhere, lady. It's here to stay. When is our two-year anniversary?
What?
When is our two-year anniversary? It's in the summer, isn't it?
August.
Mm. August? Oh, jeez. Yeah. That's like forever away.
Yeah.
We'll have already watched the fifth film and read the seventh book.
Stop!
What?
You are as bad as those people that write us. Shame on you.
You mean it's not coming out March 31st?
Okay, I'm leaving.
Oh.
Bye. Toby is free.
Oh, and about time, too.
We've missed it.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you two don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great Scott, no wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.
Yeah.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Borders. Sign up today at Borders today. Wait a second. Sign up at Borders today to be the first... Hold on, I should sit up and read this.
Oh my god.
You be nice.
Are you anyway. Is your second toe longer than your first big toe?
Some people's are.
Because mine is. It's crazy.
Okay, in the totally off-topic area of Harry Potter news... I wonder if you're a
welcome to podcast.
I wonder if you're a first-time listener. Can you actually hear me rolling my eyes if you have never listened, like if you aren't used to our patter, like you know?
I don't think that's probable.
I think they could get the. I think they get the intonation.
Unless you're Mad Eye Moody and your eyes rolling makes like a subtle noise, and I don't think anyone can hear
people
your eyes
people are
roll.
Smart. They know. They know. They know what silence means at certain points. Okay.
Sue, so were you just like me and pictured Melissa with two mad eye eyes rolling around in her head?
Ew.
That'd be so fun if you had two of them.
Back in leather, baby.
When was he ever in leather?
Okay, I'll be good. It has nothing to do with
your
that
internal,
pain or anything.
Your internal thought. Your brain. Your thoughts
okay.
here.
Yeah, he's got some pretty intense costumes for this.
Alright, this is going to get non-PG-13 very quickly.
Can you imagine him leaving Azkaban collecting his personal bits? And like, two pairs of black leather pants?
I'll deliver them to
him. One snakehead cane. That's a dragon sword.
Sounds like a dinosaur in pain or an owl in pain.
It's a dragon sword.
I know what the dragon sword is.
Yeah. He comes out of the water like he didn't rust in there. He lives in the river. He's made of metal. Hello?
I want to make mini cheeseburgers. Because they're so small, and they've got, like, grilled onions and bacon and stuff, and that little mini buns. And you eat, like, three or four of them, and it's like, oh, made me sad. I want a burger. I also want a donut.